Wiles. Some of you weren't here this morning and don't know Cass. So here's Cass, and she's a Corps officer at the moment up in Scotland in a place called Rutherglen. So she's come a long, long way to be with us this evening. But I know you won't be disappointed, and she's got some powerful words to bring us, I'm sure, as well. So we'll welcome her, but we want to thank her as well for her ministry today. Before she's even said anything tonight, we're going to thank her. And so let's do that together.
Thank you. It's been my absolute pleasure to be here. It's been lovely. I have to say, Ben, that was amazing. Ben, particularly on that percussion. Well done. Oh, you've got better over the years. I'm quite impressed. Very good. We're going to be in for a good night. I know that. Because we've got each other. We don't need to know who's won Strictly tonight. We don't need to know who's out, do we? We're going to be in for a better evening. We can watch it when we get back because we've got each other. But more importantly, we've got the Lord. And he's going to bless us, and he's going to speak to us as we worship together this evening. I was wondering what we could start with, and me coming from Scotland, I thought we needed to sing this song. If we could have the words up. It may not be familiar to everyone. It's song 1009. Can we have the word? That's it. Men of faith, rise up and sing. I don't know if you know this, but the chorus says, shout from the north to the south. And I thought, me coming from the north and you coming from the south, this was the right song to start with. So let's stand and we're going to sing this song together. The whole of November, constant praise. It started on the islands right up in the north and came down and ended in Glasgow. For the last month, somebody has been praising God 24/7 throughout Scotland. They've met in homes, they've met in churches, they've met on street corners, but for constant praise. It's just wonderful to think that that can happen. And it's exciting. You know, I really believe we live in days when God is on the move. God is moving amongst his people. And perhaps he's shaking us from our complacency and he's shaking us into what he wants his church to be. And what he wants us to be is just lovers of him. That's what we're called to be. We're not called to be great high flyers. We're not called to be multi-talented. We're just called to love him and to be faithful to him. And I just want to, before we sit and come to the Lord in prayer tonight, I just want to sing a little song to you. I would think it's my testimony. It's a tune you'll know because it's an Appalachian folk song called Wayfaring Stranger. But these words have been written to it. And this is my testimony tonight. Hopefully a button will be pressed and we'll get there. Lie, love, my strength, my tower. You will, I love, my hope and joy. You will, I love, with all my power. With further time cannot destroy. Because you fill I stand. You will.
Dot's going to come and pray with us just now.
Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet here this evening as part of your family. We offer you our praise and thanksgiving and pray that everything that happens will bring honour and glory to you. We thank you for your understanding and love for us, and as we worship, may we be drawn closer to you. In a world that seems divided, we ask that your Holy Spirit will unite us in love and fellowship. In a world where we see so much brokenness and indeed have experienced brokenness ourselves, we ask for your deep peace that passes all understanding. In a world that often appears to lack direction, we pray for the guidance with hearts open to hear your voice and discern your spirit. Thank you for the joy of singing and music making, which brings so many of us together. Again, Father, we give to you our voices and pray that you will use us to bless others. Thank you again that we are part of your great family and the sense of belonging that this brings. We pray for Major Catherine Wiles as she leads our worship this evening. May we be challenged, inspired and encouraged by your word and the fellowship we share. We ask this in Jesus' precious name and holy name. Amen.
The band are going to play to us now, and they're going to play Lead Kindly Light.
Bye.
was great. Thank you so much. This morning we looked at a passage of scripture that is found in Luke's gospel where it said to Zechariah that John the Baptist was going to come to turn the hearts of the father to the children. And he took that from a prophecy from Malachi. And tonight we're going to look at the other part of that prophecy, but perhaps in a little bit of a different way. So I'm reading from Malachi chapter 4, and I'm reading verses 1 to 6. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and the laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great day, that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. Or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Are you feeling, can I have this one on? Are you feeling like a frolicking cow tonight? It's a great passage, isn't it? It's a great passage. I did a ladies' day about this time last year in the southeast, and we took that as the theme. And we had cows all around the room. And that was the question, are you a frolicking cow? And it's a great thing. But that's what we promised, that God brings healing in his wings and we will be frolicking. But it's this idea that I want to look at tonight about the hearts of the children turning to their parents. I want to show you a couple of pictures. Anybody like the program Who Do You Think You Are? Yes, I love that program. Isn't it fascinating how affected the generations to come will be by our story? You know, you have somebody that looks back at their great-great-great-great-grandfather and can be in tears by the evidence of their lives. It's amazing, isn't it? I want to introduce you to two ladies who have had a dramatic impact on my life. If we can go back one first. That's the second one. Can we go back one? Okay. So I'll tell you about the first one. Okay. So this is my mother and my father and me and my brother. My brother would kill me now if he knew that I had put his picture up there. But I was very, very fortunate to come from Salvation Army officer parents, and even more fortunate to come from my grandmother, who I was hoping we had a picture of, but obviously we haven't. Let me tell you about her. She was born in Penge, not very far from here. She was completely blind. And all her life, oh, there she is, that's her. That is my nanny. And that's me, a rather beautiful, chubby baby. But you notice what, I just love this picture because if you notice what she's showing me, she's showing me a Bible storybook. Now, my nan couldn't see at all, but she didn't need to see because she knew the story and she could tell me the stories. My nan, she prayed all her life for a husband because she didn't want to be a burden on her parents. And at the age of 40... a sign writer who was a retired gentleman was asked to come and paint the sign at the front of the little mission where they were in Penge. And he was up on the ladder painting the sign, and somebody said,
Maud, go and take him out a cup of tea. So she went with a cup of tea, and he didn't look down, and she said to him, I've got your tea for you. And he said, rather cheekily, come up and give it to me. And so she did. She got on the ladder and she climbed up to where it was. And it wasn't until he turned round he realised she was blind and she couldn't see. And she was holding on to the ladder with this cup of tea. And love was instant. And they fell in love and they got married. And they had my mum when she was 42. Then, of course, the Blitz came. And a bomb fell on the little shop that they lived in Penge, and they had to get on the Green Line bus with one suitcase, and they got out at Chesham in Buckinghamshire and walked the streets as refugees until somebody took them in. And a little lady from the Methodist church took them in and gave them a room to sleep in. And my granddad worked night shift so that my mum and my nan could have the bed during the night, and then he would come back and he could sleep during the day so that they would go out. And that's the way they lived until somebody gave them one room, and they lived in a room for about 2 or 3 years. And then when my mum was just 14, my granddad died. And she was left completely on her own with a young daughter. And then even worse happened. My mum saw a Salvation Army band on the street corner and fancied one of the bandsmen. So she followed the band back to the hall and joined the Salvation Army. Not for the right reason. She was after the bass player. I don't know whether we've got any good-looking bass players here. But but that's what she did. She joined the Salvation Army. Now, after a while of attending the army, she felt called to be an officer. Now, that was a problem, because she was going to leave a mother who was totally blind and no brothers or sisters and go to be an officer. And so she said, no, I can't possibly do that. And somebody at the Salvation Army Corps in Chesham went to see my nan and said, do you know that Kath is struggling with accepting being an officer because she doesn't want to leave you? So my nan sat my mum down and said, if God is calling you to be a Salvation Army officer, then you go, he will look after me. And he did. And we used to go and visit her on holidays, and we would go into her cupboards in the kitchen, and there would be inches of mould on the top of the jam, and we'd say, Nan, you can't eat that. And she said, I can, it's penicillin. Well, she lived till she was 96. And she had an operation when she was 94, and they said it was the most clean intestine they'd ever seen. And that was because she used to mistake the washing soda crystals for the sugar all the time. So she was always putting that into her vegetables. She was an amazing lady. But when I was a kid, she taught me things. She used to sit me on her lap and she used to sing to me, Jesus bids us shine first of all for him. And she also taught me something else. If I used to go to her and say, Nan, I've lost something, she would say, don't bother looking for it. Kneel down, pray, and God will tell you where it was. That's what I was told. And as a little girl, that's what I did. That's what I grew up to do. I never looked for anything as a child. I always prayed and relied on God telling me where it was. That was a vital thing to teach me. It was only when I got to the training college that I realised that not everybody did it, because I thought everybody did it, because that's what I'd been taught as a kid. Now, her daughter, if we can go to the next slide, this was my mum and dad. And my mum had the same massive faith. My mum was a total embarrassment. I will own that. She really was. She was, wasn't she, Derek? She was. Because my mum would do anything that she felt God told her to do. Didn't matter where she was or what she was doing. If she felt God told her to do it, she would do it. So when we were on holiday one year, we lost her on the beach, couldn't find her anywhere. She came back an hour later and I did the typical thing, "Mother, where have you been? We've been looking for you." And she said, "I was walking along going to get an ice cream and the Lord told me to go and speak to a lady." And the lady was lying out on the floor with her eyes closed, sunbathing. My mum went and tapped her on the shoulder and said, "I think God wants me to talk to you." I tell you, nutter. But the lady turned to her and said, "I've just been diagnosed with breast cancer and I was praying." That's the lady that I was brought up with. You never left anything by the front door because it would be given away. And there was times I came home as a teenager and she'd say, "What are you doing here tonight? I've given your bed to somebody." "Okay, Mum, I'll go and find somewhere else to sleep." It was just, she just had this amazing, amazing faith. My nan had passed it down to her and she had passed it down to me. You know, in the Bible it talks about Timothy, and Paul says to Timothy, "Remember your grandmother and your mother." And I have the terrific privilege of being able to say I remember my mother and my grandmother. Now, why do I tell you that? One, to honour my parents. And my dad was wonderful too, but that's another story. But also, in 2017, and you can laugh because it does get funny, it started off in the June, one of my sons was arrested. In the August, I lost a husband. In the November, I had to move. In the January, I had a break-in and my car was stolen. In the July, we had the court case. In the August, my son flooded the house and I was out of the house and had nothing until the 22nd of December last year when we finally got back into the house. One of my son's girlfriends said, "I think this is in the Bible, isn't it?" And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Isn't this Job?" And I tell you, it felt like Job. One thing after another. But I'm still standing and I'm still here because in those moments when I didn't know what to do, in those moments when my world had fallen apart, I remembered. If God could see my nan through the blitz and find them somewhere to live. If God could take my mum to a woman who's diagnosed with cancer on a beach, then God can care for us. It was the memory of the faith. That's why the Bible keeps saying to us, remember, remember. I think that's a lot of the reason why we're told to honour our mother and father. If they have been people of faith and influence, remember what God has done. Because if he's done it once, he can do it again. And we know that God is a perfect father. And I absolutely believe that in all things, God works together for good because he's a good father. I do not believe that all things happen for a reason. I don't believe that. But I do believe that all things work together for good for those that love and trust him because he is a good, good father. I want to teach you a song. Tristan has been brilliant. I sent him the video and he's just been able to do it, no problem. He's so clever. But this is a really, really helpful little song. And then we'll do all through the years. So I'm going to twist it about, sorry. But it's a new worship song, but it just says you're a good, good father. And this is one of the things that I sing and chant all the time. So once you've heard the first little line, it just keeps repeating. So you'll get it so simply. I'll sing the first bit and then we'll do it together. Okay? I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in dead of night and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Try the second verse with me. I've heard a message in let's do the first verse again. Okay, here we go. We'll do the first verse. I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you call me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I see.
Gets on your nerves a bit because it doesn't really change, but it's one of those songs that you call an earworm. It gets in your ear and it sticks there. But you know, sometimes we need that. We need that. The devil would love to rob us of our peace of mind. He would love to rob us of our joy in the Lord. And joy is very different to happiness. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The peace of God comes because he's a good, good Father. And sometimes we have to praise him and keep praising him even when we don't feel like it, because we know he's a good Father. And one day, even if we don't feel like it now, one day we'll be a frolicking cow. That's the difference. That's the promise. That's the promise, because he's a good, good Father. We're going to take part in our offering. But as we do, could we sing the song again as we take part in our offering together? I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you call me, and
your life, never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. 'Cause you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You're a good, good father. It's who I am. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you because we know you, and we thank you that you are a good, good Father. Amen. Amen.
We're so pleased to see the community choir here this evening. So looking forward to hearing you. And they're going to bring their music to us just now.
you. That was wonderful. How often do you get together?
Every week.
Every week. That's brilliant. And what would you say are the best bits? What do you enjoy most about it?
The fun.
The fun. Laughing. Excellent. Excellent.
The end.
The end. That's amazing. About when you make music together, isn't there? There's some that the friendship that you have. You know, it's so important, isn't it, to have that friendship.
They're the best leaders in the world.
They're the best leaders.
Yes.
Well, congratulations, the leaders.
John,
Lorna, and we have our new leader, Alistair, the best leaders in the world. Well, that's brilliant. And what a ministry to be able to do. Because it's sharing something that we love doing together. You know, I have many interests. I love anything creative. The other day I saw on Facebook free Lindy Hop lessons. Anybody know how to Lindy Hop? Do you remember the Lindy Hop? Well, I thought, wow, that sounds really good. I'd like to do that. So I went into Glasgow where this was supposed to be. And I went on my own and I just went in and I put my head in and there was all these students all there, all waiting to learn how to Lindy Hop, and I walked in. I thought, oh, this is a bit odd. And then I found out they were all French. It must be very popular in France. They were all French students. So, ladies, I spent the whole evening dancing with 20-year-old French men. I know. Good evening. Good evening. I love anything that is creative. So I love the dancing and the painting and I love doing that. And you know when you love something, it changes you, doesn't it? It gives you a spring in your step. You feel better doing something that you love. How much more then should it be when we fall in love with God? You know, it makes a difference. It makes a difference to the way we live. The sad thing is that God has been presented over the years as this remote, judgmental figure that imposes his will and his wrath upon us. Whereas when you really look at the Bible and you look at the story right through from creation all the way through to Revelation, actually it's a story of a God who's trying to get his kids back. That's what the Bible's about. Because when sin came into the world, when Adam and Eve, it wasn't about eating an apple, it was about they wanted to be the same as God. They wanted to have control of their own lives. They wanted to be gods. They wanted to put themselves on the same level as God. And they lost what they had. And sin destroys. And it doesn't just destroy us. The consequences of sin destroys others. And it separates us. And all the way through the Bible, God speaks to his people and he pulls out people and says, tell them I love them. Tell them I love them. And then we come to the beautiful New Testament where because the world hasn't listened, he sends his son. And a son who tells them, my dad loves you. Turn your heart to the Father. Because he loves you. And when you find that love, and when you experience that love, it makes a difference to our lives. And the sadness is that there's so many people who live in this world that are lonely, that feels that nobody cares and that nobody loves them. And God is just there waiting to say, come to me. Come to me.
You know, we go through lots of things in our lives, many different things in our lives. And they're very often our emotions go up and down. And people think that love is an emotion. Love is not an emotion. Love is a covenant. And when we make that covenant with God, however we feel does not change his love for us. And whatever we do, and however far away from him we go, we can never go too far from him. Because he's there, and he's just waiting for us to want to, he wants to speak to us. If I've learned anything in this last 2 years, I have learnt that God is a God of love. I know what it is to be told you're not loved, but I know what it is to be loved. And God says, you are my chosen one. And he says to you tonight, you are my chosen child. And if you love him tonight, thank the Lord for it. Don't take it for granted. Praise him for it. And if you don't, then let me reassure you, you are loved. And all you have to do is say to him, Lord, I want you in my life. Come into my life. And he will do it. He does it in remarkable ways. He does it in ways that are different for everybody. But he does it when we ask him to come in. My nan, you'll remember right at the beginning, used to teach me another little song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. And we serve a God who is strong and wants to show us his love. It's been so lovely sharing with you this week. Thank you, this weekend. Thank you so much. It's been so lovely reconnecting with people and making new friends. And I pray that something that that I've said will stay with you and will encourage you in future days. I just want to pray with you just at this moment. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for my friends here. I want to thank you because of their faithfulness and their commitment to you. I want to thank you for the ministry that each one has, even if they don't realize they have it. We know, Lord, that when we serve you, you use us. And so I just thank you for the ministry that they have. And I want to thank you for the friendships and the love that is in this place. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless them abundantly. I pray, Lord, that they will just have that sense of your goodness and your love. Not just now and today, but during this week, when they're going about their day-to-day living. Lord, I pray that they will know that they are loved by you. And that we are kings and queens of yours. Citizens of a kingdom that you have established here on earth by your presence. And so, Lord Jesus, I give them all to you, and I just pray that you will bless them in a really powerful way this week. And when they look back on this Sunday, they will know that they are truly loved by you, because you are a good, good Father. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing our final song together. It's a lovely song in our songbook. Lord, you know that we love you. You know our thoughts and intentions. The band are going to help us with the tune. And we're going to stand and sing this as our benediction today. I want to thank everybody that's taken part. It's been a lovely evening. I hope you've enjoyed the evening. And I hope that as we sing this song and we sing our love to the Lord, that you will sense his Holy Spirit blessing and loving you too. Let's stand and sing the song through.
You know I'm lost and intent.
benediction. Now may the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.